dumpster at the back, Rowan Connolly.
Oh, thanks, Kev. Afternoon, everyone. Glowing words to introduce me with.
You got a better word than corker to describe today?
Today, cracker.
Cracker, corker. It's a beautiful
fair dinkum ripper.
It's absolutely
no, it is beautiful. Get out there and enjoy it, everyone. I certainly will be after. And back over the other side of a desk, Kev.
Yes, good to have you over there in your spot. back
in my place.
Back in your box.
I've got to tell you, at the risk, not everyone knows how self-indulgent I am. Geez, I had a fun week filling in for KB. And he's back tomorrow. If you miss KB and struggle to put up with me, apologies. But he is back tomorrow from 9 a.m, so tune in to Hungry for Sport. But geez, it was fun.
It's good. It is good
fun.
It
is great fun, isn't
it?
It
is good fun.
I love the interaction with people off the SMS and the talk back and giving away prizes, Kev.
And how many numbers have you written down off the SMS of people you're going to phone in the next 7 days just to tell them what you think of their job, as they probably told you what they thought of your job?
Oh, no, I'm over that. I'm on Twitter, Kev. I'm thoroughly used to that on Twitter now.
Oh, really? You're on Twitter? Oh, I hadn't noticed, Rowan.
I've got to say, no, look, in all honesty, I was surprised how pleasant the feedback was. And I don't know if people were just being nice, but if you did hear mornings during the week, and thank you very much. I'm really quite chuffed at people's support, so thanks.
Good.
It's good fun. Hope I get to do it again soon.
You're actually a likable person when you break it all down.
Not really.
Sometimes. Sometimes. Well, we can soon change that by talking about, did you watch any of the US presidential inauguration?
I couldn't do it.
You couldn't because
of... I'm going to start getting canned here because we're talking politics. No, I honestly, to be fair, I never woke up for Barack Obama's either. I mean, it's 4 a.m. or whatever, but no, I didn't want to go there, Kev.
No.
No, I think Roko has to tune out of American politics for a couple of years.
Here we go. Put him back over there and he starts talking about himself
There's
again.
Some more votes, boys.
Well, it's the ultimate thing, isn't it? A reality TV show star is the president of the United States of America.
Yeah.
I laugh about it. I don't think it's going to change a lot of stuff. But
well, hopefully not. No, and look, in all honesty, I think Barack Obama's 8 years are probably proof enough that, you know, the president can have all the best intentions in the world, but the machinery of American politics and the corporate world probably ends up having a far bigger say in what happens than the president's wishes.
You almost wonder why we put ourselves through it every 3 or 4 years in all different parts of the world, because does anything really change?
Well, so you could argue the same here, couldn't you,
Kev? That's what I mean.
Yeah.
All parts of the world, we go every 3 or 4 years, we elect some Buffett to be the head of state, and nothing really changes in 3 or 4 years, except we get another Buffett of state in after 3 or 4 years.
And I would argue in Australia it's particularly galling when the Prime Minister is seen to be held captive to the more fringe elements of his own party.
Oh, well, yeah, that's...
Are we starting to get the SMSs yet, Kev?
Politics,
stick to footy.
That's why I never...
You never talk about politics.
Have you been asked by anybody to run at any stage for any political office?
I have, actually.
Yeah, so am I. Absolutely.
But I'm not nearly diplomatic enough to do it, Kev.
No,
far too many skeletons in the closet.
Well, yeah, me too, but apparently that's all right.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
but, well, Donald's sort of set the new bar there, hasn't
he? Kidding?
You can do what you like.
He has several closets. Most of us only have one. He's actually got several closets with the skeletons.
I tell you what, just speaking celebrities, and I did, and I've jousted with Piers Morgan before.
Oh, yeah.
Piers Morgan saying, let's get a men's march happening. He's an ordinary human being, Piers Morgan.
You've got to laugh.
Someone's rung in about Trump.
Yeah, we've got a Trump call. Take that. We're taking adjectives for today to bolter, I like. No, bottler. That's bottler? Yeah, bottler. I like bottler.
Rip snorter, did we do that?
I like rip snorter too. All right. Cracker and corker are the ones we came up with. Just want to have your thoughts on...
Bonza?
Perfect. Well, it's not a bonza day, is it? Bonza's a bit limp.
Is it?
Yeah, I think
so. My dad used to say that all. It's very old school, isn't it? Very sort of 1950s.
Yeah, it is a bit. Ernie's in Sunbury. Hi, Ernie.
Good afternoon, John. How about a Bobby Dazzler of a day?
Bobby Dazzler?
I like that.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
John Farnham had something to do with Bobby
Dazzler. John Farnham and Maury Field.
It was a TV show.
Oh, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well,
yeah, called Bobby Dazzler. He was an up-and-coming pop star, and Maurice Fields played his old man.
Geez, you must be older than me, Ernie.
by a minute fraction.
Do you drive the fastest milk cart in the West?
Yeah, 1970 Benny Hill. We could do this all day, but listen.
Let's not.
Listen, don't forget that Ronald Reagan was in America's opinion, one of their greatest presidents, and he was a very, very B-grade actor.
Yeah, he was. He was.
So don't forget, anyone can be president.
Yep, absolutely.
I'll tell you what, though, Ronald Reagan comes across as a model of diplomacy compared to this guy, doesn't he? And you know what? Where we're at when people start sort of pining for the days of George W. Bush.
Yes.
You know, like he's...
But it's the same here. It's the same here all of a sudden. You know, the same people who were potting John Howard 20 years ago were saying, it was better when we had Howard.
That's true.
Or when we had Keating, or we had this.
That's definitely true.
The cycle goes. The funniest thing to me is I can imagine if Back to the Future was made now, remember the great line in Back to the Future where Marty comes back and he talks to the doc and he says to the doc, Ronald Reagan's the president, and the doc says, oh, who's the vice president? Bob Hope.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they made that now and said Donald Trump's the president?
Well, even 12 months ago, the thought of it just would, you know, you would have laughed. You would have laughed.
No doubt about that. Corker, cracker, bolter, rip snorter off the SMS. Bobby Dazzler, it's a lovely day in Melbourne. But the question remains, is Rowan a sports commentator or a pinky wanker? We'll find out.
A pinko wanker, Kev.
Oh, did I say? Oh, sorry, it is pinko.
Very proud. Yeah, an SJW latte sipping flog, I think, is the alternate description, and I wear it very proudly.
I'm happy to go with that. He's in the studio with me till 1 o'clock. 26 past 12 here at 11:16 SE in Melbourne time. The sport, Rowan.
That should be your theme music, Kev.
What's that?
Smells like Teen Spirit.
Why would I have Nirvana?
I don't know, I'm just winding you up. But that is one of the most...
Why would I have Nirvana, Kai?
That is one of the most instantly recognisable opening riffs to a song ever.
Yeah, no,
isn't it?
Sure. Well, I didn't mind Nirvana.
Oh, they were great.
Yeah, I didn't mind them.
Oh, great.
Oh, I don't know that they were great.
They were great.
No, you know what? And Smokey picked me up on this the other day when I
Smokey Dawson? Talking about Nirvana?
No, talking about great. The word great...
is overused.
Smokey would be looking up the...
Smokey would have been in a few mosh pits in his day.
No, he would use Nirvana in a Scrabble game and maybe in a...
Nirvana wouldn't get you much in a Scrabble game either, Kev.
Well, you've got a V in it.
Yeah, V's only four, I think.
Is it? Oh, okay. No, the use of the word great...
Overused?
Yeah, I said it about someone and he went... Pardon me. And I went, what? He said, you said great. And I thought, yeah, okay, fair enough. We do sometimes use it a bit.
No, we do. Sure. Well, it's the age of hype, isn't it, really?
Well, it's the age of if you're on Twitter for 3 minutes, you're a legend of some description, or you're famous for 35 seconds because you've been on Twitter. And you've got 4,000 followers on Twitter.
I'm prepared to call Nirvana a great band. They were an era-defining band, Kev.
No, I'm not going against you on that.
Someone just said, is Rowan the shop steward at the Sun? Well, A, I don't work at the Sun. B, I don't. The thing has been many decades since they had shop stewards.
I don't understand that.
I'm a pinko commie lefty.
Oh, okay. It's more
SJW latte sipping triggered cuck snowflake flog.
You know what you are? You're the king of the three letter expression. Have you noticed how many three letter expressions you now use on Twitter?
Not really, no. Oh, can I say it?
In place of other words like RFO and FFS and...
FRO, mate.
Sorry, what did I say?
RFO.
FRO.
Oh, I'm keen on that one.
So you can't, you've got to have it.
I've taken out a patent on FRO.
Well, Dennis Cometti worked it into a...
WTF, FMD.
He worked WTF into commentary one night.
How did he do that?
I'm trying to remember how it was done, but he actually did it because someone, I don't know whether, because Dennis does a lot of dare stuff.
Yeah.
And spent, I reckon there was a two-year period there where he was... working lyrics of songs in because people had dared him to do it.
Yeah.
And he actually came out and fessed up about that. But he worked WTF into, I think it was an umpire, might have been an umpiring decision. And he literally went, WTF! And I'm at home going, what? Oh, whoops.
I wish I'd known Dennis was doing that at the time because I reckon I could have challenged him and I would have loved it. How much would you have loved to have seen him work in the line from Africa by Toto, the one that goes, I must do what I know is right. Sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti.
Now that someone used a line out of Toto in a press ad that I saw, like a billboard type ad I saw, that got worked around on either Facebook or Twitter, and they used a line that Toto had written, and it wasn't that line.
Hold the line. Love isn't always on time. No.
How come you know all Toto's songs off by heart?
Because all that crap that you were playing on your former stations in the 80s.
I like Toto.
They could play.
They were good. They were
music. No, but that's my. They fall into that rather large stockpile of people I have some respect for because they could actually play instruments. You know when people used to use instruments to make music?
Yeah.
Back in those old days.
I was watching last night just before I went to bed that Rage is running all the old countdowns.
Oh, they're doing that again?
Yeah. Okay. This month, I think.
What year was it?
85. June 85.
Oh, I was getting towards the end, wasn't
bit
it? Would have been very synth-driven.
The first band I'd never heard of, who apparently was top 10, called Animation or something, with some song called Obsession. And I'm just looking at it going, I don't remember this.
Were they Australian?
No, American. No? And then with a really strange-looking lead singer and even strange-looking backup singer. And then a bit of Errol. Bit of Aussie crawl, Errol, the beach thing.
Just to be like
with
him.
Guy McDonough, the late, great Guy McDonough, Brad Robinson and James and all the boys in there. It was good. It was good to see that clip. It was a fairly debauched little clip.
There were a lot of one-hit wonders in the 80s, weren't there?
Aussie crawl weren't a one-hit wonder.
No, I'm not talking
What's wrong with you?
No. Do you remember that song just quickly? I know we're talking rubbish.
Oh, sorry, just before, I've got to clarify, you're right, it was NFI, not WTF that Dennis Cometti worked
on. Oh, NFI. I think it was about a favourite.
It was about an umpiring decision.
Do you remember that song by the Time Bandits, I'm Only Shooting Love?
Yes.
Time is right.
Yeah.
I'm only shooting love.
Weren't they dressed up? Weren't they something to do with Doctor Who, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was sort of science fiction.
There was a Dalek
something.
Kind of thing with them.
Oh, you're not thinking of the...
Is that the one?
Doctoring the TARDIS or whatever.
No. There was
a big era for novelty songs.
There was
songs
a Doctor
too.
Who novelty song, but I'm sure the Time Bandits thing, there was something to do
that
with...
That was then. The clip's on YouTube. I, for some reason, watched it.
Oh, I don't know why. You what? Watched it?
Yeah.
What sort of rubbish do you watch on YouTube?
You get on YouTube and then down the right-hand column, they've got all those, and you can't help clicking on them. So
We should be watching what adults watch.
Yeah, well,
I went from that
to Nick Kershaw.
Nick was all right.
Nick
was a little English pop star.
Kaja Goo Goo. Too shy to shy, hush, hush, I do I.
Do you want the SMS to break?
No.
If you start doing that stuff...
Yeah, I know.
If Rowan Connolly is sitting in the studio with me singing Kaja Goo Goo, I'm sorry, I'm in a parallel universe.
Okay,
gone wrong.
My kids have put me onto a great new series on Netflix. No, I've just started watching it. It's like a cross between South Park and Family Guy. It's called Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty.
It's about a drunken old mad scientist who keeps hijacking hijacking his grandson and taking him on weird sci-fi adventures.
What's it called? Rick and what?
Morty. It's very funny.
Okay.
SMS through if you've seen it.
I remember the first time I saw South Park, I almost had a coronary, I reckon.
My favourite show of all time.
I almost had a coronary. I was with my older boy, with Bo, and the telly wasn't working, and had to move the aerial thing because the aerial had broken outside. And I stood there for 25 minutes. This thing came on. We're flicking channels, and we finally got a channel that worked, and it was obviously the one that had South Park on it. So this thing comes on, and I've got the picture, and we finally get a good picture, and I'm holding the aerial. And then we started, it was Cartman. Cartman was doing one of his rants.
Getting an anal probe or something?
He was doing one of his rants. Hey, you guys, sack.
Yeah.
I'm watching it, and I'm killing myself laughing, and my son's going, would you stop laughing at the air? You're moving the aerial. I stood there for 20 minutes like that watching this.
Your introduction to South Park was the episode where Mr. Garrison's teacher's assistant, Mr. Slave, they get the class gerbil lemmy winks to
I'm not Rowan.
Okay, that's it.
No, that's enough.
Family show.
It is. So happy to take your calls at any time.
This is a sports show, isn't it?
Yeah, it was supposed to be 0433 98 11.
Well, some people call it sport.
I just saw something on Twitter where Carlton are under a bit of pressure about the surface of Olympic Park, which will be played on
February 3rd, 7:40 against Collingwood.
Yeah, the first of the AFL women's game, and they're under a bit of pressure about the
surface. What's wrong with it?
Surface. Well, it doesn't say. I'll have to find the...
Well, Collingwood train on it, so it couldn't be too bad.
Also, lots of pictures up on Twitter from all the boys at the 1987 World Cup reunion last night up in Sydney.
Well, we spoke to Alan Border on Friday on SEN Mornings, and... It's actually Dean Jones wrote a great column about it
really
in the Age
yesterday. Yeah,
he's been on fire, Dino. Yeah. This summer, he's written some of the best stuff. Just about I guess it's sort of the forgotten World Cup, and for people too young to remember, like it wasn't even on TV. I remember listening to England batted last, and I remember listening to the end of it on radio.
Yeah,
we're all literally huddled around
that.
The radio. Yeah, it's but it was an amazing tournament. Australia had to win. Well, played 8 games and won 7 to win it. But 5 of the 7 victories were by 18 runs or less.
Yep.
And AB told a great story about how in the very first game they beat India by 1 run, but only after Dino hit a 6 and Ravi Shastri caught signalled at a 4, because he'd nearly caught it, I think. And it was given 4, and at the end of the innings, the Australians went and complained to the match referee and had the 2 runs reinstated and ended up beating India by 1 run. So,
and you look at the blokes that were in that squad, Greg Dyer, the keeper,
yep,
and Mike Valletta were 2 of the stars of that team.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about those two.
No. Well, Valletta made 45 not out off about 30 balls in the final, which was crucial. Simon O'Donnell, and that was... Great in Dino's column writing about how
Simon was working for me then.
Well, he was playing through a lot of pain, and it was when he got home that his cancer was lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Yeah,
But he was seriously ill and played through
I got a phone call halfway during the tournament saying from the bloke who was managing him at the time, who because Simon was our cricket correspondent for my show at that time on Fox. And got a phone call saying that he'd been, he was in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
He was staying on the tour, but he was in trouble.
Courageous effort.
Oh.
Hey, just to Hayden and Fitzroy just texted through.
Was
it on ABC TV.
Was it?
Only the first innings. The England innings, they batted second, definitely wasn't on TV. Because I was working at The Age, and we would have had it on the TV if it was on.
Now, Alex is saying that we have one of the Collingwood players from the women's side on this week. That would be Kate Sheehan, who was in with Chuck for an hour, who was on just before talking about tennis. She
might have been Alicia Reeva, Kev. We had her on our show.
Did she say that the surface at Olympic Park was really hard? You can't remember.
Well, it was a long interview, Kev.
It was a long interview. On the same, I had Kate on the week before.
In fact, we've had every Collingwood women's player on here the last few weeks, Kev.
You're just trying to shore up for getting to heaven, are you? Is that what you were doing the last week? Now, Hayden and Fitzroy said, because I saw the Gadding sweep and they batted second, he reckons it was on ABC TV, but I've had various people tell me that that's not true, apart from your good self.
Well, Dino wrote it, and I was subbing at the sub-editing at The Age that evening, and I remember we were huddling around the radio, so anyway.
It was a great moment in Australian sport, and good to see him having their reunion up in Sydney ahead of the big one-day international. Now, Matt... Mark is in Greenville. G'day, Mark.
G'day. How you going, guys?
Good.
Look, during the week, and I'm going to combine football with tennis, so you'll love this. During the week, I heard about players that are going to make a difference to their club in 2017. And I heard of Jared Roughead, and they spoke about a few guys, like from the Bulldogs and whatever. But one guy who I actually want to talk about, I'm actually after an update on his progress, is Alex Johnson. Nick Kyrgios needs to have a chat with him about what lost opportunity can mean and how fleeting a career in sport can be. And that might make the penny drop on him. But I'm so keen for this guy to get back. I mean, people seem to forget.
Has he had 3 or 4 knee recos?
4.
4.
Yeah.
People seem to forget he hasn't played football since 2012.
No, it's a really good point. I mean, his last game was the 2012 Grand Final.
I mean, in all honesty, Mark and Rowan, do you reckon Nick Kyrgios would listen to that?
Look, who knows? He might this 5 minutes, and then the next 5 minutes he might say, I'm not interested. Yeah. I mean, he's a psychologist's dream, Nick Kyrgios.
Yeah,
but, look, I mean, if someone like Alex Johnson couldn't make you have a better concept of, the and to be grateful for the opportunity you're given, and be grateful for your God-given talent too. And I think that's what really upsets people most about Nick Kyrgios, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I agree. No, it is. That's exactly what
it is.
It's that entitlement thing.
Yeah, entitlement. But also, I think, you know, I did an editorial during the week about, you know, the greatest rod he's created for his own back came with that tanking episode in Shanghai last October, because now the moment things go wrong for him, immediately people are going to think he's not trying.
Yeah.
And that's what people thought during that game the other night. And I didn't, you know, look, last point he didn't have a crack at. He played the between the leg shot, did win the point. But I didn't think he wasn't trying at any stage. But he's created that for himself because, you know, you were suspended for not having a crack. Any time your form starts heading south in the middle of a game, people are going to assume that.
Can I ask, throw to you the Pakistan batting collapse at the MCG in the test?
People always throw up about
all
Pakistan.
All of a sudden, everyone's going, hang on, they're not trying, they're on the take, they're this, they're that, they're all those sorts of things. So once you've been found guilty of it, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
It is 16 to 1. Thanks for your call, Mark. Appreciate that. Now, Matt Gale is a man we wanted to talk to. He's the president and player, wait for it, of the Osaka Dingoes.
Just down the road?
Exactly. Just, you know, a bullet train away from where we are right now.
Doesn't it go Richmond, Burnley, Osaka?
Yeah, that's it. You've been on that line. Very good. Matt's on the line to talk about footy in Japan. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Good morning, boys. Konnichiwa.
And to you. Tell us about football in Japan. I mean, we know many, 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 many years ago, Hawthorn went over there and played an exhibition game. So where's footy at in Japan? How long has it been going, and what state's it in?
It started actually in 1986. They had that exhibition game. I think it was Hawthorn and Carlton. And at the moment, they have about 13 affiliated clubs. So there's a top league, which is based solely in Tokyo. And unfortunately, we're not in the top league anymore. But it's our ambition to get back into those ranks and get amongst it.
So you're with Osaka, Matt. I believe sort of the tyranny of distance with you guys as much as anything, isn't it? They want a competition basically focused around Tokyo.
Yeah, Tokyo and Yokohama is mainly where they play the actual Japan AFL top league. It's about 5.5 hours drive from here. And if you catch the Shinkansen, it's around about 2.5 hours, but it costs you around about $320-$330 Australian dollars. So
Wow. It's
no cheap deal to just go and play in Tokyo every, you know, once or twice a month. So it's a bit difficult as far as money goes and travel concerns.
So who do you play against then? Do you play just in Osaka, or do you actually do the travel to Tokyo?
So what's happened to the Osaka Dingoes, we played in the 2013 Japan AFL Top League Grand Final and narrowly lost by 4 goals. And a couple of months later, we were told that we needed to come up with some ideas and some strategies to stay within the league. Otherwise, they were going to release us, which they have done. They released us in the Nagoya Redbacks, and it was mainly based on travel constraints. And I probably having a lack of significant ideas just to keep that motion in place. But what we've done now, we've gone into a transient sort of mode where it's a dormant stage for our club. We don't have any structured games in place, and that's something that I've sort of tried to bring back into the place for this year onwards, is to resurrect the club, not only on the field but off the field as well.
So how do you go about sort of trying to generate that interest in a foreign environment where you'd think the knowledge of the game's pretty pretty minimal? How do you actually go about advertising the game and specifically your club?
Yeah, interesting question, Rowan. We're using our social media pretty heavily at the moment just to try and create some interest, and we'll use that furthermore as we move forward. But having not been involved with any footy for 3 years, the club is pretty crippled with that situation, but there's a population. The greater Osaka population is around about 19.2 million.
Wow.
At any given time, there's 4 million people working here on any given day, but about 2.8 live here.
So, I mean, I think a lot of people assume with AFL footy overseas that it's mainly expats, and I'm sure you've had plenty of them involved, but how do the locals that you have had involved and come into the fold, how have they established first a knowledge of the game and then become interested in it? How's that happen?
Great question again, Rom. We have about a 50% expat, 50% Japanese team set up, which is pretty unique compared to the rest of the comp, which Tokyo Goannas is near enough 100% Australian expats. The Japanese players generally come from a rugby background.
So yeah.
There's a lot of transferable skills. And just gaining those interests, we get that from time to time, but it's just going to be a tough curve moving forward for us, definitely.
So, it is. And rugby does help, doesn't it? And Japan does have a pretty vibrant rugby scene. We've seen them compete in the World Cup. And
yep.
What sort of help... I guess people who are listening now and thinking, you know, this is great, how can we actually help you? How could you receive help from the AFL? What can they do for you?
We've been through we're trying to get our AusKick sorted here. So I work for the Osaka City Board of Education. I've got access to about 1,200 primary school students. We're hoping to get that underway pretty much this year. I've been through my SANFL contacts to try and get some AusKick resources. It's gone through to Mark Ritterford, who is the he's the manager of school engagement, I think, with the AFL head office. So, hoping to get some feedback through there. But for people
haven't
back
got,
home,
haven't they got like a? Isn't like Tony Woods the international person that looks after all international stuff? Or they had someone in that role? Tony Woods is.
Yeah, I think you're right, Kev. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, it's a. A tough situation to be in, and I guess difficult to know how to get that practical help. I just want to ask you a quick one about your own background, because you were saying that you played for Woodville West Torrens. You played alongside Matty Pavlich in the under-19s there. And am I right in saying you were actually drafted?
No, I wasn't drafted. I went in the 1996 draft, Rowan.
You were in the pool, yeah.
Yeah, following year, I was the captain of the Woodville West Torrens under-19s team. So the first year we won a premiership against Nord, Matty Pavlich played with us just for one game because he was a college student with Sacred Heart. But we had many players over that journey that went on to play very successful AFL careers. Brett Burton's, Kenny McGregor, Aaron Shattuck played in the second Brisbane three-peak premiership.
Yeah.
My best mate, Andrew Crow, played 44 games, which is the average AFL career. And obviously, Matty Pavlich. So we had lots and lots of fantastic footballers during that journey.
So, Matty, the way to help is obviously you go to your website and get people to generate through that. Is that what we're looking for?
Yeah, pretty much. Check out our website, Kev. Look at our social media pages. And what we're looking for mainly is some sponsorship from back home.
Yep.
So if anyone could pocket put some money into the coffers, whether it be 500 Australian, 1,000, 2,000, we'll put your name everywhere that we can. Within Osaka and Japan through our social media outlets and everywhere Japan football. So we've got a big event coming up on the 22nd of April. This year we're going to have an Anzac Day Cup tournament, so we're hoping to get as many teams as we can within Japan this year and look at venturing that out to China and some of the other Asian countries that are close to our distance next year.
I've got a sushi down the road. I might take your car down there and see what they reckon. Might be a great little link up for them. Final one from me, Matt. We're seeing a game for premiership points in China this year, and obviously markets don't come much bigger than that one, but the sort of population figures you just quoted to us, you know, 19 million people in Osaka alone. Can you see a day when perhaps, you know, AFL footy might get, you know, played in Japan somewhere?
Look, it would be fantastic to have a game over here, whether it be a pre-season game or an actual AFL game here. It's 126 million people in Japan alone as a country, which is pretty huge considering how small it is.
Yeah.
We'd love to have a game over here. And look, I'm a part of the AFL Asia organising committee for the Shanghai game. There's going to be a tournament the day before called the Shanghai Cup. We'll have around about 18 teams, hopefully, from all around Asia taking part in a round-robin series. So, and there'll be an exhibition game as a curtain raiser before the Power Suns game as well, I believe.
Okay. Oh, good stuff. Hey, Matt, what's the website address?
Osaka Dingoes at osakadingoes.com.au. Just osakadingoes.com, I believe, yeah.
Okay. You were going to say .au then.
Yeah, I had to pull back on that one.
Now, Matt, thank you. I know you're a dedicated SEN listener, so thank you a lot for your support. Spread the SEN gospel over there as well as the Australian football gospel if you can.
Yeah, if 126 million fell in the left pocket here, we'd be all right. I think we'd be going all right. Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Breakfast boys will be keen for a slice of that audience.
Absolutely. Good on you, Matt. Appreciate your time.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much, and love listening to you guys. And Rowan, all the best for the footy season. And Kev, great listening to you again, mate. Cheers.
Cheers,
thanks,
Matt.
Matty Gale there, the president, and play with the Osaka Dingoes. So just jump on the internet and Google them. You'll find out all their details. Rowan Connolly, like Greg from Westmeadows, the AFL's likely to base a team in Osaka before Hobart. It's probably true.
Yeah, probably not a bad call.
It's probably right. You said how many million were in Osaka?
That's a lot, isn't it? Yeah. How do they cram them all in there?
Don't know how they do that. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon. Go out and enjoy this Bobby Dazzler corker. Cracker
day. I will, Kev, and don't be too surprised, but I'm back here tomorrow. Frank Leach doing the first shift of afternoons tomorrow, so I'm back on with Frank from 1 till 2.
All right, look forward to that. Rowan Connolly in the studio.